We're going to be tag teaming, so excuse us for the back and forth. It's going to keep us up. Community Voices Miami is part of a larger national initiative launched by the W.K. Kellogg Foundation in 1998, and Community Voices Miami has been at the Collins Center for Public Policy since 2003. The mission for Community Voices is to improve access to health care for the underinsured and underserved, and the Community Voices Miami local goals are to promote promising practices and policies that increase access to timely and appropriate health and social services, as well as connect to broader social and public policy issues through the Collins Center for Public Policy. We also bring health to the community development table. And Community Voices National is housed at the Morehouse School of Medicine. Our goals are to build the capacity of community health workers to connect to health and social services, to ensure public policy visibility and acceptance for this model as part of the integrated system of care. How did it happen? In 2002, Community Voices Miami, through the United Way of Miami-Dade, commissioned a study to assess the state-of-the-art of the work of community health workers locally. In 2003, a working group explored these findings and made recommendations for more training and recognition of community health workers. In 2004, CVM led a curriculum working group which created a level one curriculum. This was piloted in 2005. We've trained about 150 community health workers since 2005. This training has been evaluated and then modified and fully implemented between 2005 and 2006 with the help of the Children's Trust Health Connect in our communities initiative. In 2006, Community Voices Miami was granted a contract to lead the work of community health workers and health navigators for the larger initiative. In 2006, we trained 15 community health workers for the Community Access Program, which came from federal funding, HRSA, and we engaged and received commitments from 27 partners. Again, we trained 15 community health workers, and we collected some data, which is, this is not published yet, but we're still finalizing this, through the period of March 2006 to December 2006. CAPCHWs had 7,164 encounters and collected 1,573 surveys in the field. What we found briefly was that 27% found it very difficult to complete the paperwork, those who filled out the paperwork, necessary to enroll for health insurance coverage. 30.9% said yes when asked if they delayed or did not get health care because they couldn't afford it. 35.6% never had health insurance. 33.5% were U.S. citizens. 32.5% were legal residents. 1% were students or visitors. 23.6% were undocumented, and 9.4% were others. Part of the challenges of collecting this data has been that community health workers, while they're serving their communities, are expected to collect this type of information as well. And I'm going to pass it on to Sonia.
Navigators, supervisors, and all the of the agencies involved. I just take a minute to let you know what Health Navigators is as opposed to community health workers. In Miami, we are divided into two groups. You have the community health workers who work out in the field, engage the residents and stuff, and then we refer them to the health navigator who navigates them through that very complex system of getting benefits. So that's the difference between the community health worker and the health navigator. And lastly, to standardize the data collection tools among six health networks, which are the six partnerships that form Health Connect in our community. In that data collection tools, we capture demographics and input and output, measured input and outcome. Development of levels 2 and 3 of the training curriculum involves a partnership between the stakeholder group, curriculum working group, which basically comprises of community health workers, an ongoing relationship with Miami-Dade College, which will probably, you know, give us the education. We get this education through them. The CHW project and the Little Havana Community Partnership. And the Little Havana Community Partnership is basically a Spanish-speaking, because Little Havana is a Spanish-speaking community. So those community health workers, their first language is Spanish. A few of them are bilingual, but not all of them. But they are linked to a larger network, which is ours. The ones that are bilingual, you know, they come to our meetings, they keep active in what is going on, so they don't feel like they are ostracized. You know, they are part of us, although they speak a different language. The partnership provides workshops and professional developmental training. We have had workshops and stuff like compassion fatigue, which is something that community health workers really, really endure. We also get supplemental trainings in disease-specific topics. And we participate in the data work group. We act as a coach to assure retention, again, of the Spanish-speaking community health workers, so there will be complete involvement. And provide feedback and recommendations of integration of CHWs into the care system of care. The CHW and Health Navigator Network is a place where we go for support and personal advocacy, because we have our problems too, okay? Addressing policy and systemic issues, like when we encounter barriers with our clients, what we do is when we go to the meetings, we exchange stories, we share experiences, and when we see one topic keep coming up as a barrier, we start to brainstorm to figure out what recommendations we could make to have changes so that we would remove those barriers. We do brainstorming, course training, supplemental trainings. Sometimes with community, and these meetings are led by community health workers. We have guest speakers that are invited by community health workers. This is our project, wholly and solely. We do resource identification. We exchange resources because we have community health workers in the north, community health workers in the south. You know, if we have a problem, we go there, we ask, you know, people tell us, well, use this resource or go to this community-based organization. That's how we interact with each other. And it's also where we get connected to a national network. I'll now pass on this part to Victor.
Part of the great thing about the network has been that we've been able to follow up the trainings with supplemental trainings that go on in the network. For instance, last year we had a huge issue where we noticed that there was a big drop in attendance in local health clinics. And through the community health workers, we found out that many of the clients or participants were not coming to the clinics because there were rumors of raids going on in Miami-Dade County. So we partnered up with FIAC, which is the Florida Immigration and Advocacy Center, to come in and give us some trainings around immigrant rights. And so we could pass on this information to our community health workers as well as our participants. We focus on community development, advocacy, cross-training, as Ms. Joseph has stated, leadership development, and domestic violence. This has been a very integral part of the community health workers' retention rate. They need a place where they can come and exercise what they've learned in their training, as well as have a support network where they can go and speak to other community health workers that are going through the same thing. What's been birthed out of this has been some policy teams, because we know and we are invested in long-term outcomes, and community health workers found out pretty soon after their training that they wanted to get involved in regards to policy and policy changes. So I'm going to pass it on to Sonia to talk a little bit about the policy targets and the policy teams.
Some of the problems that we encounter in Miami is restriction on community health centers. The five-year ban on kid care. Kid care is Miami's version of SCHIP. And what happens is that because of the immigration laws, if you become although you're a legal resident, you are allowed to come into the country as a legal resident, you cannot get any benefits for 5 years. And that puts a strain on the children because they can't get any benefits too. So therefore, for 5 years, they have to go and, you know, when you now come to a country, you're new, you don't have much resources, you need to get a job, this is the time when your kids, I think, really need assistance, you know, not 5 years later. So this is one of our problems. Presumptive eligibility for pregnant women. For pregnant women, it's also called PEPW, and it's a Medicare program. What it does is to cover pregnant women for the first 45 days of their pregnancy. But what we have been seeing is that they come to the doctor once, and in less than a month it has lapsed, and we don't know why. So we need to work on that. CHW associations and local, at the local and national level, well, of course, that's our own little thing that we discuss about. Some of us belong to the national association, and we have conference calls, and when we do the conference call, we go back to the network meeting, and we inform the others of what went on. If they want to participate, we take votes if it's something to be voted on and stuff like that. And preventative health care, reentry health information. Reentry health, when people come out of the prison system, is also finding a problem, because you come out there without any identification, any insurance, any stuff. They come out there, sometimes they don't even know what they have, and there is no way for them to access health care, because even though the community health centers do give us a reasonable rate, you have to pay something. When you come out of prison, you don't have nothing to pay. You know, they don't be bothered about what can they do. So they go into the community, and they just probably sometimes just spread disease around the community, you know. So we have to look at that. And, of course, homelessness. Homelessness is a big problem. We have encountered a lot of people. Sometimes I sit in my office way after hours with a family because that family is homeless. They have children involved. And I cannot find a shelter to place them because they have no bed. So we need to do something about that also. Who are our audience? Our audience are policymakers and community health workers, community leaders. Community health workers like me and other participants.
because we are still in the initial stages of development and developing this workforce, it's been very difficult to collect data. So one of the things that we encourage community health workers to do is to document as much as possible, especially their stories. Recently, we have Miami community health workers featured in a book created by the Northern Manhattan Community Voices Collaborative. And the book, entitled The Community Health Worker Lives, Stories, and Dreams, dedicates a space for community health workers to share their experiences as new community health workers in the field, and how important it is for them, for others to know how important it is to them to help others. The fact sheets each come with recommendations and personal stories. We are involved with the Center of Migration and Development at Princeton University, who's doing some research on immigration and access barriers. And we have been recently contacted by the Medicare Quality Improvement Organization for Florida to train community health workers on specifically diabetes. I'm going to rush through this because we have 5 minutes. This is the American Association of Community Health Workers, which we've talked about. We had a Community Voices National Conference entitled A Wise Investment, Financing and Integrating Community Health Workers into the Healthcare System. Here at this conference, research is demonstrating that the contributions of community health workers to increase access to high quality and efficient care is so important. There are significant barriers that we know are out there, particularly the lack of stable and mainstream funding. And there was also a discussion around the federal, state, and legislative bills in Illinois, Massachusetts, New York, Tennessee, New Mexico, and New Jersey in regards to incorporating community health workers into state budgets. At the national site, also, there was a discussion around measuring return on investment, which has been a challenge for us. The cost-effective analysis, the return on investment, community health worker programs in a public safety net setting like Denver Health was looked at as a best practice model, and community health workers improving the health of individuals, and the bottom line, of course, getting them into a safety net healthcare delivery system. Moving forward, skip through that. Moving forward, we are right now researching building a clearinghouse that will collect data, coordinate and promote trainings, and work with providers and consolidate the community health worker network, as well as possibly housing the American Association of Community Health Workers local chapter and association. And this is just a thank you to all the people that are involved, APHA, the Children's Trust, the CAP program, Citrus Health Network, Community Health of South Dade, Economic Opportunity, Haitian Neighborhood Center, and the Human Services Coalition, as well as the Public Health Trust, Jackson Health Care System. Thank you so much. Yeah.